President Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this July the 15th on the West Coast, now July the 16th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We would like to welcome all those listening around the world on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on BlogTalkRadio.com, and got to mention to you, those of you who have tuned in hoping to hear my regular Thursday night guest, former U.S. Marine Drew Malone Rains III. He was gracious enough to vacate the time slot so we could bring Jim Murray on tonight. I gave Drew a vacation, a well-deserved vacation. And also, this makes room because Jim moved to Thursday for tomorrow night's guest from Argentina, Mr. Adrian Salbucci. And we're going to be talking about the world economy, and we're going to be talking about some solutions as to how we can affect a real change in the world. Oh, news. Well, now CNN, after a few Fox Radio reports earlier in the day that they were going to cap this well in the Gulf of Mexico, they announced tonight, they're doing all this in the dark, though they show us images that make it look like Club Med, and they're claiming that there's no oil leaking in the Gulf now, which I find rather interesting, but let's wait and see what is going on in any event. I'm sure that they're spraying the Corexit 9500 dispersant into the Gulf of Mexico like it's going out of style. And because they're making a ton of money on that. So we are going to talk maybe a little bit about that, but also about some things that are going on throughout this universe. I think that would be a very interesting topic with tonight's guest. Before I bring him on, I want to read something that someone sent me. This is rather interesting. This comes from a good friend who picked this up out of a San Francisco newspaper. And I'm going to be quoting from this point on until otherwise notified directly from the paper. The headline says, "Note to all hunters." This is from a San Francisco newspaper. And the message within the newspaper comes from a subscriber, evidently. And I quote again, "To all you hunters who kill animals for food, shame on you. You ought to go to the store and buy the meat that was made there where no animals were harmed." Now, folks, just remember as you consider this, this person who wrote this probably drives and votes and comes from the same general area that elected Nancy Pelosi and Dianne Feinstein, I might add. And this person may have already reproduced. God help us. God help us all. With that, I would like to bring on tonight's guest. He is a prolific scientist and inventor, author, lecturer, and teacher. He is our resident science advisor, my regular Friday night guest and co-host now here on Thursday night, first Thursday I think he's ever done, my good friend Jim Murray. Jim, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Don. I'm still getting over the shock of that last announcement, but I have confidence that I'll regain my composure momentarily.
Well, we have We've done a number of shows on consciousness, and evidently people are waking up. Someone has woken up to the fact that meat is actually made at the grocery store, and no animals are harmed in the process.
Yeah, I got that. I guess I'm lagging in my knowledge of the process involved. I apologize for that.
Yes. Well, I'm going to be getting questions thrown our way throughout the night, and we're going to address them in a few moments. And I'm sure you'd enjoy that, because that's every bit as good as getting a phone call. And if there are any obscenities, they don't go over the air. We had a really crazy call a couple of nights ago. Somebody trying to be really funny. I think they were from the same general area as the person that wrote this little comment to the local newspaper. But anyway, I don't know if that was from the San Francisco Comical or what, but Jim, you've been sort of keeping tabs on this golf thing and what is going on in the world from a scientist's perspective, and I certainly don't expect you to go into anything so deeply that you have to prove yourself, but what are you discerning is going on right now in this country and in other parts of the world in respect to what's happening here?
Well, we can narrow that down a little bit, I hope. What with respect to what?
Well, this fraud that's being committed in the Gulf of Mexico, for one thing. You know, it's to, let's say, create this facade that we have to have cap and trade, that, you know, we have to be billed for the simple act of producing carbon dioxide, even though nature does that on her own. They have to tax people. And we have this massive oil catastrophe going on in the Gulf, and the rest of the world is paying attention to this and probably getting more information than we are in regard to what's going on the coast. So I'm just interested in what feedback you're getting, knowing that you speak to people all over the world every day.
Well, I can tell you for sure that from the sources that I do speak to, it's very, very apparent that people in most other countries know a lot more about what's really going on here than we do. And by we, I mean the average people in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
The problem, of course, is that the media is owned. And that's a well-known fact. And so they report what they're told to report, regardless of what that may be. And so it makes it very difficult for, for the truth to get out. But I do believe, despite that problem, that there are a lot of American people that are aware of what's going on, at least in part. And there's a secondary group that know something's wrong, and they either can't figure out what it is, or they're wrestling with the, they don't want to admit to themselves that that the obvious is happening, and I think that it's not going to take a whole lot more abuse, if we can use that word, before people are going to realize who the enemy actually is. And I think once that happens, you're going to see some enormous changes. I really do.
Yeah. Now this current debacle, if you want to call it that we're experiencing, the lies that we're being told, and believe me, after you look at how much I researched of what is going on behind the scenes in regard to BP and Transocean and Goldman Sachs and some other companies and people, you're going to see very clearly that this whole event was orchestrated, just like 9/11, just like any of the other false flag events that we've had. What's interesting about this is they positioned themselves to make money, and this was a multidimensional endeavor on the part of BP and Goldman Sachs in particular. And those facts will make a whole lot of sense as far as understanding why you're not seeing anything really being accomplished other than the attempt to obfuscate everything. But they can only wait so long until the oil hits the shores and people see it. I saw a video today of a flyover somebody did over the Gulf, and they were showing all the oil. Now, I don't know exactly when this was made, but it really doesn't matter. It went on for miles and miles and miles. And there were different amounts of oil, and different colors of oil, which raises a lot of questions. You know, you wonder if they were seeing tar balls, they were seeing maybe different grades of oil possibly being dumped into the water. Now, I know that a lot of people are going to say, wait a minute, I saw the film, I saw the stuff spewing at the bottom of the ocean. And we've determined that at least four, and likely the more recent photos as well, fall into the same category, or video, fraudulent photographs of an improbable scene. I mean, the thing doesn't change from day in and day out. It doesn't grow new appendages of pipes. And certainly they weren't reporting adding pipes to the wellhead. And the wellhead changed position. It changed size. It changed shape. And there were all kinds of other goodies that were seen in the videos. What is increasingly clear to me is that you have multicolored chemicals coming out of what appears to be a wellhead, but it seems to be in a controlled environment. There is no way that you can get a picture of this with completely blue water surrounding that. I don't care what time of day it is. It's at least a mile down at the bottom of that particular part of the Gulf of Mexico. So the light just doesn't make it down there. Now, you take a light down there to shine it on the wellhead, it doesn't light up the whole area. It's just impractical what they're saying. So we're again seeing phony images. So the big question is, why the phony images? Well, they created this story that there's a massive leak. There's pressure being estimated up to 100,000 pounds per square inch of something coming out of a hole. And there are notable fractures in other areas, other well leaks as well. No pun intended there. Didn't mean to use the word well twice in the same sentence. We're sort of forced to accept what they have planned after this, because they're going to make some declaration that offshore drilling has to cease, and then they're going to have to move to a different type of energy. And that's where cap and trade is going to come in, and they've already set up the infrastructure for that so they can make money charging people who are creating carbon dioxide. Have you ever heard anything so asinine in your life?
Is that a question directed to me or just a general statement?
There was a question mark on the end of that sentence. I don't know if you saw it.
I heard it. Well, you know, it's very apparent to me. I mean, it's difficult for me to answer these questions in an unbiased manner because I'm already biased. I don't believe a thing it comes out of Washington, unless it's something bad, which is the only thing that, you know, I would accept as real. But anyway, Getting back to your statement, I'd like to see just how they're going to orchestrate this new taxation method for anything that produces carbon dioxide. I don't know if they've given this any thought or not, but even though they are the slugs of the earth, they too produce carbon dioxide. You know, all mammals exhale carbon dioxide in some percentage. Are we therefore going to have to be wearing carbon dioxide meters pretty soon so that they can send us a monthly bill? I mean, how far are they willing to take this nonsense? And for that matter, how far are we willing to let it go?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why I brought up the question. Now, that puts in line those who have invested in alternative technologies. And I'll tell you something. About the time that the paperwork was being put together on this scam called the Gulf of Mexico oil spill, they keep calling it a spill, the paperwork fits everything else that's transpired. And there, in other words, there is evidence. They put this thing together, and this whole thing was created with a specific time frame in mind. All the infrastructure was there, and they even went so far as to establish a few what I call dummy companies or shells, basically to divert the attention of one of their competitors. I'm speaking of Goldman Sachs. Divert the attention of one of their competitors away from what was about to happen. Yet, while they were doing this, while this was going on, they were going around certain communities starting to set up the pretext for windmills. You know about this. I talked to you last fall about this, did I not?
Yeah, we had a couple of chats about it, actually.
Yes. So, you know, they're talking about wind power, generating power from windmills and then metering it that way. In other words, they don't want to invest now in fuels. So is this really the reason why? Does it have to do with carbon dioxide, or is it the new scam? Well, it so happens that BP is heavily invested in these technologies. And these are old technologies, Jim. They've been around 30, 40 years, have they not?
Well, yeah, they're definitely older technologies, but I see a problem. I see a problem with this approach in the event that it in fact does represent whatever plan they may have. There's no way that the windmill power, if we want to focus on that as an example, has enough power density to take the place of the fuel burning plants that are already in existence. So if they have any intentions of eliminating them, then another thing that might be going on is that they may have a technology of their own that we don't know about yet, which they'd be willing to introduce at this time to make themselves look like heroes.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting thing about that statement is that there have been so many technologies stolen and suppressed in the last 100 years, starting with what they did to Nikola Tesla, that you can bet your life if there is such a technology, they took it from somebody else. It's not theirs.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, you'd have to have windmills on every block to support the total amount of power that's required to stimulate and support that grid in the United States.
And I would suggest that they put a politician underneath each one of them, and when the wind's not blowing, that they do the work.
Yeah, well, they certainly produce enough hot air, that's for sure.
That's what I'm implying. Well, you're saying, okay, we need one of these on every block, and that's going to be a tremendous strain on whatever system they devise for power distribution, isn't it?
Well, I mean, theoretically, if the windmills produce the same amount of power in the long run as what's on the grid now, it wouldn't strain anything. But the problem is that wind is an unreliable source, and it doesn't blow all the time, and you can't predict when it's going to blow. And so it doesn't make sense in the long run for them to embrace only that technology. To put it bluntly, I smell a rat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're going to push this issue, there's something else up their sleeve.
Yes. Well, you actually picked up sort of what I wanted to talk about, but I didn't want to get into a discussion of what people are calling free energy. I wanted to get more into what you touched on, the fact that they have other technologies that they haven't disclosed to the general public. And I think because of certain discoveries that were made, that they're still trying to figure out some of what they've discovered. They don't even understand how it works. And I think there is an obsession with the military, industrial, congressional Congress to come up with some means of time travel. And I think really that's where all their focus is going, on looking at the future or moving into the future so they can try to construct the present accordingly. I think there's a tremendous amount of money being spent on that. I don't know if you would agree with that or if you've been thinking about that, speculating on that, but if you care to comment, I would love to hear what you have to say.
I've heard stories about such technologies. The problem is, as I see it, and of course, this is not an area that I'm familiar with, so I'm as prone to mistakes in what I say as anybody else would be. But because the future is, in fact, a collection, an infinitely large collection of possibilities, I mean, literally, it changes microsecond to microsecond, you know, just by the actions and choices of everybody on the planet. I think it would be very, very difficult to have a decisive and trustworthy means of seeing the definite future, because I don't think there is such a thing as a definite future. Of course, that wouldn't necessarily stop anybody. I mean, if they had a technology that could look forward in time to some extent, I'm sure they'd gamble with the meaning of that just like they do with everything else, and we'd wind up taking it in the neck as usual. But I really don't think that it's a trustworthy technology. There's too many potential futures. But what are you going to do? Tune into the one you like the best? You know, it's not a definite thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm inclined to believe or to conclude from my knowledge of metaphysics that if everything is an eternal now, then the past nor the future really exist. It's merely a question of being putting yourself in a perspective to be able to view either one. And that might have something to do with distance, or more likely it has something to do with multi-dimensional realities. It would be like trying to see what the sun is doing on the other side of the earth while you're experiencing the nighttime where you are. Well, if you could get far enough out into space, you could see what's happening in that regard.
Yeah, but then the trouble with that is you wouldn't be in the same spot where you were when you initiated the request.
Well, so, I think it would be the same thing trying to see another aspect of time, too, wouldn't it?
This gets right into the whole aspect of Tesla's version of relativity, which has to do with different reference frames that are dependent upon angular motion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm long since convinced of the fact that there are no real absolutes. There are apparent absolutes, but I don't know if that carries any weight in the long run or not. I'm not equipped to make an intelligent comment about that, to be honest with you.
You would base that statement, though, on the fact that we live in an ever-changing universe.
Well, I think the universe is ever-changing. The problem is that the method that causes it to do so, and the actual type of changes that occur are not necessarily predictable. Some of them are, if you plan them, but then there's always the unforeseen things that are secondary aspects of what you didn't plan, and when they come into play, that modifies your original projection. So it's just a very complicated issue. I really don't see that they could ever get anything concrete from that approach. But that doesn't mean they wouldn't spend $1 billion on it.
Or a trillion. or 100 trillion. The reason I bring this up, because it forces us, first of all, to talk outside the box and to think outside the box a little bit. When you consider that somebody is putting out pabulum that's declaring that we have visitors who are experts in time travel, and they're coming to visit us from the future. Now, if everything is an eternal now, then that is a lie. The future really isn't what we believe it is. In other words, it's not from point A to point B. It's not moving in necessarily a straight line. There may be no lines at all.
And another thing to consider, too, is that if time travel is a possibility, and I really do have my doubts about that, but if it is, it may be possible to travel into the past, but not into the future. Because the past has already happened, and so therefore it is an absolute thing. And it may be possible to visit the past from the future, but not to go from the present into the future. There was a whole big deal about this, maybe 25 years ago, maybe longer, having to do with the so-called Minkowski space-time diagrams that mm-hmm. have to do with what they call the light cone. Mm-hmm. And the light cone is I don't profess to understand exactly what it is, but it's a projection from a given point in space-time forward, which always produces a cone. And if you look at that even more succinctly, it may not be just a cone in the shape of a hollow cone, but it may be a solid cone, which is another way of saying that there's an infinite number of radii being produced from this starting point. And that's exactly the way I view the future. I view the future, as an infinite number of possibilities until it happens. And then when it happens, whatever it is, it becomes the present. And from the present, when you look back, you're looking down the cone towards the singularity. And so, there may be a possibility that the past can be visited in that respect. But I certainly don't see any way that you could visit the future, unless you could visit all of them, and then you have an infinite number of choices anyway.
Mm-hmm. In respect to someone who has a vision, let's say, for instance, I foresee an event, I'm given a clear vision, and this has happened many times, of an event that's going to occur in what I would perceive as the future. The question is, am I possibly receiving some aspect of it in real time, and that it manifests on another plane, let's say on the physical, in another time frame, which can be measured by the calendar as approximately 3 years. If you get my meaning. In other words, there could be these multiple realities occurring at the same time, and different aspects are totally free of time.
Think you just hit the nail on the head with your own statement.
Mm-hmm.
The mechanisms that, first of all, we have to identify what is a cognizant human being. And a cognizant human being is actually a collection of systems, some of which are spiritual, some of which are mental, and some of which are physical.
Mm-hmm.
So the person may not consciously realize that he is a collection of several different things, but that's beside the point. That's what he is. So when you get a vision of this sort, if you're using the spiritual component of your being, that is a mechanism which is outside the domain of time as we recognize it. And that's something I would trust.
Yeah.
Because that's not coming from the future in a mechanistic sense.
Yes.
Well, when I say that I feel time travel is probably not an intelligent or realistic goal, it's because I realize that it's going to be done with machinery or some kind of technology that exists in the physical plane,
mm-hmm.
and therefore it's subject to a whole different set of rules. And that's the reason why I don't think that that it can be done. But that does not preclude the fact that on the spiritual level you can receive valid information concerning a future event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, The reason I reference that was based on our discussion about moving forward into the future in a physical sense. You're saying that a person starts here on let's say July 15th at certain time, 10:35 p.m., and then within a matter of minutes, this person is 800 years into the future. I've never seen it like that. I've always seen it as some aspect of consciousness able to move in, out of the realm of time. And so if you want to make some reference to time that the physical reality can understand it, or, I guess understand it's enough. Perceive it maybe is another word. Then you have to physically be capable of doing that. And we're not even capable of hanging out in the three-dimensional world without problems, you know. So I'm inclined to agree with you on that. Yet there seems to be this obsession with doing that. And I would have to think that on some level then that any devices that are proclaim to be able to look forward in time as a physical or semi-mechanical devices, even if it's a crystal, let's say, for example, and that crystal can be activated to project an image of what a moment outside of time would look like that could be referenced as 800 years into the future, that there is some other aspect or some other reality that technology would actually be communicating through, say, like a crystal. It has information, and it doesn't need our direction to do what it's designed to do or capable of doing. So if it operates outside of time, it just does that. It's up to us to figure out how we can understand and disseminate the information that's flowing through this thing. Now, to me, it seems like our answers to power problems would lie somewhere in between. In other words, getting away from the burning of fuels or the destruction of matter, and maybe incorporating some of these higher realities, these spiritual aspects of the creation into the physical realm and the mental realm. Any thoughts on that? I don't even know if I'm making myself clear.
Well, you're making yourself clear enough that I'm willing to respond to it.
Okay. Thank you.
Let's put it this way. I think that there are a number of potential solutions to the so-called power problem, and they range over a whole myriad of potential solutions. You know, the most elegant, of course, would be to tap into the creative aspect of nature, which actually is responsible for the formation of atoms and molecules and planets and moons and stars and all of that kind of stuff. And we've talked about that on numerous shows. I don't know if that knowledge exists on the planet at this point in time, but I'm sure that it once did. And if these individuals who are running the show, so to speak, have taken charge of information of that caliber, you know, from finding it in some, I don't know where they would have found it, but in some repository somewhere on the planet, you know, it brings me to wonder just how reliable their interpretation of that information is going to be. Because one thing that really stands out, at least in my mind, is the fact that just like consciousness modifies what a person perceives with his senses, it also modifies what they're capable of understanding and to what depth. And that's one reason why you can actually hand somebody hard data that is absolutely scientific in its origin, and the process by which it was obtained is verifiable, and their mind just isn't capable of accepting it as legitimate. And that's a well-known response. It's not something I made up. So, you know, if people who are not spiritually ready to undertake the development of certain technologies make a stab at it anyway, I'm not sure that they come out in the same place that somebody like Nikola Tesla would have come out. I mean, this automatically propels us back to the discussions we had several months ago, where we were talking about the obsession with these huge colliders.
Mm-hmm.
That they're building. And, you know, the possible outcome of some of the experiments they have planned with those machines. It isn't at all inconceivable that you can put billions of dollars into something, all kinds of manpower into something, and have a true belief that you know what you're doing and still blow yourselves off the face of the earth and take a lot of people with you. You know, it's not unrealistic to assume that something like that could happen simply because we don't really know as much as we think we do. And yeah, that's where I believe the ancients had it all over us, because if you look at even You don't even have to go back to Atlantis or one of those more exotic and questionable civilizations. We can just look at Egypt. There are people who have spent a lifetime studying what the Egyptians were really doing, and their lifetime, as they spent it, and I'm talking about the earlier dynasties now, not in the later time periods, because even their civilization had a certain decay rate which affected their culture. But if you go back to the earliest times, there were things done there that are so off the wall compared to what the way we live, and yet it was all done in an organized way with purpose and with complete understanding by the people who were responsible for achieving those things. And when we look at it, we're looking at the same stimuli, we're looking at the same information, but something's missing. And I think that that type of situation repeats itself over and over again on many, many levels of reality. And that's exactly the reason why, you know, I'm not so sure that it makes sense to be very trusting in what these people have planned.
Well, I'm inclined to agree with you, and that's kind of why I brought all this up. We get obsessed with the thought of not being able to load our vehicles with fuel and all the implications that has because of these stories, these scripts that they're writing and acting out in real time. And of course, they have a compliant media there that is telling people only what they want the media to tell us, only what they've decided they want us to know, because it produces all kinds of fear-based scenarios. And most people will focus on all of those fear-based scenarios, and from my perspective, it's let's find out who the bastards are and what they did, and let's hold them accountable for it. It's as simple as that. Why get hung up in all the potentials? Because they've been playing this game for 40, 50 years anyway, playing games with the price of gasoline and the other petroleum products that they make. And they've incorporated byproducts of petroleum into everything from the roads, what goes on the roads, what goes into the things that go on the roads, and every other aspect of manufacturing, plastics and pharmaceuticals. They're putting petroleum even in pharmaceutical drugs. How is it that something can poison the earth and not poison us? So seems like it was a stacked deck to begin with. And it's all based on, or it's allowed to become the monster that it is because of people's ignorance and the lies that they tell us about it. They have to make up new scenarios, new confrontations, new threats to humanity, when all along their intention is to destroy humanity. And we only have to look at what they're doing around the world to draw that conclusion. So we've got to get outside of the realm of waiting for them to provide us with the answer. We have the ability to do that. And that's what part of this discussion is about.
Well, I agree with that. I mean, my own life has been an example of that. I didn't wait for anybody to do anything. I decided to pursue an understanding of power in a different direction. And I've been at it now for 42 years. And, you know, I've come up with some very interesting stuff, and I did this almost single-handedly. However, I don't mind telling you that the resistance is very, very high to this type of rogue activity. And not only that, but in the long run, even if I succeed in producing exactly what I'm aiming at doing, that's no guarantee that it'll be commercialized, because it takes many millions of dollars to bring something to commercialization, and that's where you run into the final rub. You know, they still control the money. So
we're based, our reality is based on this illusory system. Again, we're just dealing with nothing but illusions, left and right. Now, if one were to contemplate a solution for the world's energy problems and intended on doing that, one could conceivably come up with something. We know that that's always a possibility. In fact, there's approaching 7 billion people on the planet, some of whom are very qualified for a number of reasons to do just that. But there's always this fight that takes place, that it has to come out in such a way that it can't be stopped. And there would be nothing wrong with that. It would solve the world's problems. Those that control the world, the way through this system, are intent on keeping us under the same type of control, only making it more severe all the time. So,
well, not only that, but the interesting thing is that let's look at the present system that's in use almost worldwide, which of course is petroleum. Okay, so this, we know that there's an enormous expense involved in exploration. There's an equally large expense, perhaps even larger, involved in setting up the drilling rigs, especially if they're ocean platforms, which we know are extraordinarily expensive. Then the product is secured. It has to be transported safely to a refinery. That's a whole nother series of expenses involving other technologies. Then when the stuff gets where it's going, whether it's by ship or by rail or by truck, then it's put into huge holding tanks and eventually refined into the various petroleum products that we're all familiar with, ranging from lube oil all the way up to, you know, the highly flammable stuff, Vaseline included. And so then, you know, it gets put in the tank of your car for a given amount of money, and the cost of what you spend has to cover all of those expenses. Now, the interesting thing is, despite the complexity of what I've just described, they do make a profit, and they boast about it, so they make a hell of a profit. But because they're so greedy, you know, I'm sure that if they could do away with all the intermediate steps that we just talked about and somehow just produce gasoline the way they produce money, their overhead would disappear and they would have pure profit. So if you look at that as a motivation based on the character of these slugs, then you should also realize that any form of higher power development would in fact automatically produce that type of result, except it wouldn't be with gasoline. It would be with something else, whether it be electrostatics or electromagnetics or vortexes or vacuum energy. It doesn't matter what it is. Once you can produce work for no cost, then you are in a position to make use of pure profit. And the only thing that they would then have to do is figure out a scheme for billing, which they're very good at. I mean, they'll bill you for anything. So I can see that there's a great motivation, you know, to move away from these petroleum-based situations not only because of the overhead, but also because of the fact that they keep on claiming that we've passed peak production now on Earth, at least with the known sources. That's another argument that you hear all the time. So regardless of whether that's true or not, there is a lot of motivation to move away from the petroleum-based power sources into something more exotic with less overhead. And the other thing, of course, that's interesting is you have how many millions of people on the face of the Earth, and I do mean millions, who certainly understand the internal combustion engine, who know how to build them, who know how to repair them, who know how to play around with them to get, you know, better efficiency or more power or whatever they're trying to achieve. You don't have millions of people who are familiar with some of these more exotic technologies. As a matter of fact, you have a very, very tiny handful of people. And so if they were to bring all this stuff out, these suppressed technologies, they would have control by a very different means, not just because of the fact that they are the sole supplier of a given fuel, but they are the sole supplier of a technology that nobody else understands. And over and above that, they'd probably make five times the money that they would make with the old technology. But it wouldn't surprise me that they try to make money on both systems until the very last drop of petroleum disappeared from the planet, simply because of the fact that they're takers, and that's what they do. They figure mm-hmm. out ways to capitalize on everything.
Yeah. Now, I'm getting some messages here. I got a message. In fact, I'm going to respond to this a little bit. One of our listeners thinks that I might be misleading the audience a little on my declaration that we're getting these images of a glowing goldish looking wellhead and rather dreary looking robots and blue water. Now, what is it this oil, this spewing whatever it is, substance coming out of the well? What is it? What color is it? And you mean to tell me that this stuff can just spew into the ocean for 2.5 months, going on 3 months now, without stopping, and that water around there is not going to be coal black, even with lights? You're telling me that all of a sudden the water is going to look clear and blue like a swimming pool? Come on. Use your brains. I don't mean to sound insulting, but you also referenced that you went down to 1,800 feet. That's not 5,000 feet. And that's certainly not in what we're describing here. So I don't think I'm misleading anyone. I'm using my own discernment and my intuition and a bit of intelligence. And we've not been told the truth. That's obvious. We've seen four distinctly different photographs. Now five with this new thing going on. They're claiming that they're drilling two other wells, relief wells, on both sides of this original wellhead. Then they tell us they have it capped. There's no oil leaking. But then they turned off the relief heads or wells. The relief wells are not pumping oil. Come on. Let's get real here. They drilled, they claimed, and this is important, ladies and gentlemen, they claimed on September 1st of 2009, BP, that they drilled a new well, the Deepwater Horizon, to a depth of 35,055 feet. They published that information on September 1st, 2009. And they began selling shares of stock in this well at that time. And the stock really went up high. A lot of people owned it. Even their competitors owned some of this stock, both in BP and Transocean. And you can't tell me that this thing wasn't planned You don't have all the facts yet. That's part of what I'm revealing in my next piece. But when you have all those facts, you're going to see that this was planned. You're going to see there is a paper trail. There are names. There are dates. That these things don't happen by accident. The infrastructure was put in place, and it took them a good half a year to do that. Technically, it took them over a year if you take into account the March 3rd drilling date, 2009. So on that basis, all I can say is, you know, hang in there, because don't be so quick to judge what I'm saying. I've looked at these images and I've given a lot of thought to what I'm seeing. You can't tell me that I'm seeing pollution, oil pollution, and it's perfectly clear blue water right where the pollution is. You can't tell me yet. So I'm not misleading anyone. But I appreciate your comments, and that your comments actually allow me to clarify a little bit more my position. Jim, do you want to comment on that? Do I sound like I'm crazy here?
No, I agree 100% with you. I mean, I appreciate the fact that there's lots of pristine areas, especially in the Caribbean, where you can go down quite deep, you know, with diving gear, and you can see very, very clearly. But you can't superimpose those types of results into a situation like the one that we're describing, where the high pressure oil products have been boiling out of that hole now for 86 days. You're not going to see any translucent, beautiful Caribbean water anymore. And what about the other nonsense that appeared from time to time on those, let's call it a reality show, because that's basically what it amounts to, where in the middle of all that boiling business that's going on and all the colors and whatnot, people have reported seeing the door suddenly open. You know, some guy standing there looking at the thing. I mean, you don't open any door, you know, when you're 5,000 feet down. If you did, it would be the last time you ever did it. I guarantee you that. There's a whole bunch of stuff that doesn't add up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the whole thing is smoke and mirrors to achieve a totally a different end.
I don't know what that
end is.
If I took clear water and poured it into a sink with a stopper in there so that the sink held some water, let's say halfway, and I pour a cup of coffee in that, okay, then I shine a flashlight into that, is that going to clear up the water?
No, of course not. I mean,
yeah, okay.
Water is tainted by the addition of the coffee. It's not going to go away.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So. Now, there is a difference between going down. This person that emailed me kindly mentioned that he has worked with some submersibles, and he's gone down as low as 1,800 feet. Okay, that's pretty dark, too. I would say dark is dark. It doesn't matter if you're at 1,800 feet. Maybe some light does come from the surface during the day. But 5,000 feet is a totally different story.
Well, not only that, but I mean, if the guy was down in a submersible that was in a situation at 1,800 feet where there was an open wellhead spewing out 2 million gallons a day or whatever the number is, and he said, oh, I could see clearly, you know, and I have photographic evidence of that fact, I would stand corrected, but I honestly don't think that that's what would happen if you were in those conditions. And especially after all the time that's gone by, I don't think you can transfer whatever his experience was over into the situation at the Gulf. And expect them to be the same. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. Well, You know, from day one, we've been getting these clear images of an event that's polluting the Gulf of Mexico. How is it that right at the at ground zero of the pollution that the water is the clearest? You know? And then we talked on other shows about the doors opening behind the plume coming out of the ground. And I say that with great reservation because it was obvious that that was a shot taken from a tank, like an aquarium. And then the whole thing shifts at the end of the video, and the alleged live video is nothing but a 10-minute loop that repeats over and over again. Just like CNN's coverage of 9/11 or any other false flag event. They keep showing the same 20, 30 seconds of video over and over to ingrain
it. Well, you know, I have a comment to make on this whole issue.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't remember exactly when it started, but I'm going to take a stab at it and say, you know, eight years ago or something like that, 6 to 8 years ago, all of a sudden there was all kinds of so-called reality shows that started to make their debut on the TV system. And people got all excited about this, and it started off with, you know, various contests on remote islands and all this other nonsense. And then eventually it even got to the point where you could tune in and watch the daily activities of different individuals secluded in some house somewhere. So you could actually sit there and watch other people doing whatever they did all day long. You know, which totally seems like an absolutely ludicrous thing to do. But on the other hand, if you look at it from the standpoint of brainwashing, here they're getting the public ready for a whole new variety of, or a different format, might be a better way of putting it, of brainwashing. You know, they get them all hooked on these reality shows, and then they go ahead and create one at the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico. And they put it on TV so that you can watch that also. Well, if you've accepted all of the other rubbish and feel that it's not only worthwhile but entertaining, then why would you question a reality show which is focused on the release of all this oil into the Gulf? I mean, you probably wouldn't. I can actually picture people sitting there in their living rooms with beer, chips, and dips, just watching the oil. I really can't.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't think of anything more exciting than that. I mean, you know, this is an earth-changing event. It's on TV. Let's get the beer. Let's get the pretzels.
Well, let's have a Goldman Sachs reality show, and let's watch them in action. Let's watch them pull all this corruption off in front of our very eyes and see how many can actually recognize that it's all fraud.
Yeah, but you see, if they put that on TV, that requires a little bit of thought. They would probably change the channel.
Well, thought on the part of the viewer or those in the reality show?
Probably both. I was referencing the viewer.
Yeah. Well, I think we could continue this discussion on an upcoming show. You are going to actually be on next week on Friday with Adrian Salbucci, where I'm going to have the both of you on together. So I'm looking forward to that, and I know you are as well.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I've heard something about this guy's work, and he's pretty well informed. And I'm going to take it as a learning experience, if nothing else.
Yeah. Well, Jim, I want to thank you for allowing him borrow your day tomorrow. And I want to thank Drew Raines for allowing you to come on the show today. And thank Don, who sent us an email, and everyone else who's been sending little messages here. One of our listeners wanted to point out to me that that the wellhead that we've seen has been yellow, white, and the last time he saw it, there was no paint on it at all. But I can tell you that the last three representations, which are completely different from one another, were all of this yellowish gold color with blue, clear blue water all around it. And it just doesn't make sense. The stink is where the hole is. So, Jim, I want to thank you for your insights tonight. And any closing comment you want to make before we say goodnight?
Well, the only thing I wish we had done probably in retrospect is could have spent a little bit more time on the possibility of some of the non-petroleum-based technologies that look like they're emerging. It would be interesting to try to put together the puzzle ahead of time and see, you know, what it is that they're conjuring into existence.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we can do that on another show.
Yeah, well, maybe we can do that with Adrian Salbucci next week, because he's got some interesting things to say in that regard. So I look forward to your next interview on the show, and wish you a great rest of the week and a great weekend.
Well, thank you very much, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com, Wind Talkers Radio Network, and BlogTalkRadio.com. Special thanks go out to Seth Hendrick on the sound tonight, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, everyone sending in messages, and most of all of you in the listening audience. Join me tomorrow night, same time, same place. We've got a new guest on the show tomorrow, all the way from Argentina, Mr. Adrian Salbucci. I wish everyone, in the meantime, a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.
Hello, this is Tom with HempUSA.org. Most of you have been hearing my ads for the past few months, and it's no secret that the economy is failing and prices are rising in all sectors. If you've been thinking of a nutrient-dense daily food source and a storable food for yourself and family, the time to act is now. At HempUSA.org, we still believe that food will be your greatest asset in these trying times ahead. Please call 1-908-691-2608. And see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Beware, be smart, and be ready. Call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org. Families need this high-quality natural food source for its low price and long storage shelf life. This incredible food source should be a staple part of your diet every day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org today.
I tried a thousand times, I cried a thousand lies, I wrote a thousand songs or more. But then I saw your face through that closing door. You said goodbye.
When I walk walking down the street some days, I'd open the mirror and I have to gaze at my reflection coming back at me, and I can't believe that is me. Look at me. Hot, very hot. I am constantly getting gifts for free. I say, hey, let's go shopping and we'll buy something for me. You know, watches, clothes, and things like that. And I get the receipt. You can take it back. I am the man. I am so cool. I am so great. I am a man. Yes, I am a man. I love myself. I love my mother. Except my brother. I am the man. I am so cool. I am so great. I am a man. Yes, I am a man. I love myself. I love my mother. Except my brother. My women are always telling me how good I make the love. I move my butt in a circular fashion. It does the job. Sometimes when I'm feeling oh so nasty, I do not haste. I place my woman on a pedestal. I place her on my face. I am the man. I am so cool. I am so great. I am the man. Yes, I am the man. I love myself. I love my mother. Except my brother.
I am the man.
I am the man.
I am the man. I am the man.
I am so great.
I am the man.
Yes, I am. I have something I must confess to you. The truth is, I am none of these things. I live at home with my parents. I don't even have a car. I wash dishes during the day, and I sit alone at my computer all night chatting with lonely women. But to these women, I own something more, something special, something missing in their life. To them, I am the man.
I am the man.
I am the man.
I am the man. I am the man.
I am so cool.
Yes, I am.
I am the man.
I am the man.
I am the man.
I am the man.
I am so great.
I am the man.
Yes, I am. I am the man.
BBSRadio.com. Radio that transcends the third dimension. BBSRadio.com embraces the fourth dimension, promotes natural alternative health, spreads joy. BBSRadio.com. Free energy, spirituality, honesty and truth. BBSRadio.com. Increase the vibration of the people and the planet. BBSRadio.com.
Hi, this is producer and composer Nelson Ortez. If you're an independent artist looking for airplay, BBS Radio is the place for you. BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on BBSRadio.com.
Touch me, giving you all my desire. I'll get my point across now, and maybe you'll understand. Well, I said I'd make it if you tried, but I lied. My disguise is my high-rise ticket to the top. Just let you touch me, giving you all my desire. I'll get my point across now, and maybe you'll understand. Maybe I'll just let you lie to me. Maybe I'll act like I understand. Maybe I'll love and just run away and let you come find me again. Maybe I'll just let you touch me, giving you all my desire. I'll get my point across now, and maybe you'll understand. Well, I said I'd make it if you tried, but I lied. My disguise is my high-rise ticket to the top. Well, I know.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
that you answer when I call. Break my fall.
one way, one second of my life just ticked away. You let me hit suffering down on my knees. Pull it, please, I can't stand up anymore. Wanna breathe in deeply and roar, but if I do lose the battle, win the war, and now it's over. Slowly dying to cry, my eyes are fried from all the tears that I cried. Didn't know you leave me here to lie, didn't know you wanna leave me high and dry. Now I stand here in the afterself, why did you have to give up?
Hello, everybody. This is Sal Bellois. You're listening to BBS Radio, Los Angeles, California. You can hear my tunes right here, so listen up.
You're listening to BBS Radio,
the number one internet radio network on the planet.
That's BBSRadio.com.
I'm Patricia Cota Robles, and I'm the host of Awaken Your Divine Potential, which airs on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific Time. This is a unique moment on planet Earth, and people everywhere are reaching out and asking for guidance and assistance from on high. As a result of humanity's heartfelt pleas, we are receiving more assistance than ever before from our Father, Mother, God, and the company of heaven. The information I share on my weekly radio program is being given to humanity by the beings of light in the realms of illumined truth. The divine intent of these celestial sharings is to encourage, empower, inspire, and uplift all of us by allowing us to see the bigger picture during these wondrous but often challenging times. Please join me for this commercial-free hour, during which time we will join hearts and minds with thousands of light workers all over the planet. Together we will invoke the company of heaven and add to the light of the world.
This is Jeff Van Vonderen from A&E's show Intervention, and you're listening to BBSRadio.com.
Hi there, this is Christoph Goes. You'll be listening to new tracks from my new album Turning Inside right here on BBS Radio, because if it's not mainstream, it's on BBSRadio.com.